Good morning once again. This morning, as we said, the Torah portion starts in Genesis 47, verse 28, and it goes through the end of Genesis. And I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this, no time. We're going to read through it and then talk about it for just a few minutes, and that'll be our Torah portion for this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we pray as we look at your word that you will give us understanding by your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories and also, Lord, the admonition and your words that we receive and the understanding of your nature that we have through your word. And Lord, we are so grateful that you gave this to us. And we pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So Genesis 47, starting verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph, and said to him, "Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." Then he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. And goes on to say how Jacob blesses Joseph's sons and he blesses all of his sons. It's interesting that he blesses Ephraim and Manasseh separately. Actually, he blesses them instead of Joseph directly. He blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, which are Joseph's sons. Because as you know, today we don't have a tribe of Joseph. We have a tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. But before we get to that, I see just this aspect once again of faith in Jacob's life, that he did not want to be buried in Egypt. He absolutely believed the promises of God, that God would bring his people back to the land that he had promised them, back to the land of Canaan. And so he makes Joseph swear that his bones will not be buried in Egypt. Jacob was probably thinking, or Israel was probably thinking, that it would only be a generation or so, and they'd get to go back. It ended up being over 400 years, and by the time they got done, they were slaves, and God delivered them, as we know, through his servant Moses. But they remembered, it had been passed on from generation to generation, that Jacob's bones were not to be buried in Egypt. And so it says later on in Genesis that when they left Egypt, they carried Jacob's bones with them all the way through the wilderness into the promised land, just as he had requested. Now, I want us to think about that for just a second. 400 years, okay? Our country that we're so proud of here has only been an independent country for 230-something years, okay? 400 years. Generation to generation, they passed down that Jacob's bones were to be in the promised land. And if there's something else, if you think about that, that had to be passed on from generation to generation. But what does that also create in each generation? Oh, we have another land. We don't belong in this land. We have our own land somewhere. And one day we'll get to go back to it. You see how his faith of saying, "I want my bones to be buried in the land that God promised my Abraham, my forefather. I want my grandfather, actually, in his case. I want my bones to be buried there." Help the whole nation. It continued to give them a purpose and an aspect to say, you know what? This is not our home. We have a new home. Of course, it was also passed down that they did have a land that God had promised them. So there was always that hope There was always that hope within Israel, even as they went through slavery and they went through all of these things that they went through in Egypt, so that when the deliverer, not the Messiah because we know who that is, but the deliverer in the form of Moses, when the deliverer came, they were ready. They were ready. They weren't ready right away. We understood it took a little time and they had to see some miracles and things like that. But it was already in their history. It was already being talked about that there was another place that God had for them. And what I see out of this, and we'll probably just focus on this morning, is the legacy of faith that was passed down from Jacob to his sons, and that was passed down from them to their children. Was it perfect? No. But was that faith there? Yeah, it was. And that's what we need to be about, passing down to the next generation, a legacy of faith. You know, those promises that God has given us, they may not be for us directly. They might be for our children. And that has to be okay with us. That has to be okay. For the last 2,000 years, we've had a legacy of faith, haven't we? Of waiting for the return of the Messiah, waiting for the return of Yeshua. And we have passed it down from generation to generation. Every generation wants to be the generation where he returns. There's some people that try to make that happen in their generation. We kind of got some of that going on today. Well, we have in Israel, so let's get the temple built. You have all these Christians giving money towards a Jewish temple being built. Why? So Yeshua will return. Well, I'm not sure we could do it that way. We can't manipulate God's time. In fact, I'm sure we can't do it that way. It'll be in his timing, not ours. But we do need to pass on that legacy of faith to say we are waiting for the return of our Savior. We are waiting for the return of Yeshua. And he is coming. He may not come in my lifetime. He may not come in your lifetime. But he is coming. And so we have to be ready for him. And we need to take the land that he has given us. Yes, we have a land that's not of this world. But God has given us land to conquer here and now as well. He's given us a job to do. We're supposed to be sharing the good news to the whole world. We're supposed to be sharing the good news to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. And in what we're doing there is we're advancing his kingdom, the kingdom of God, as we do that. That's our task as we wait for him. And that's a legacy we need to be passing on to our children. Just as Jacob passed that on to Joseph, and Joseph to Ephraim and Manasseh. Some people have asked, well, how come Jewish people say, may God make you to the boys? May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh? You know, why do we say that? Well, one very good reason is because they were the ones that received the heritage of the land. It kind of, in a way, skipped over Joseph, and it was given to him through his sons. But they received a portion. They received an inheritance. And it was a good thing. Their blessing was a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. So that's one of the reasons why we say, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. May God give you the blessing of inheritance, of heritage. Heritage in his portion, his land. But for us as believers, and I've heard somebody say this, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been somebody here. We should say, may God make you like Yeshua, right? Because in Yeshua, we have inheritance. Whether we're Jew or Gentile in this room today, we are one in Yeshua. You are part of Israel. You're in the commonwealth of Israel. And we have an inheritance that's even better than Ephraim and Manasseh's inheritance. Because we share an inheritance with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. That's what it says in Romans, that we will share in his inheritance. That's a pretty awesome inheritance. So that's what we need to be passing on to our children, is blessing them. And as we bless them, be thinking of the inheritance that we have in the Lord. Yes, it's good to have an inheritance in the land, but it's even better that your portion is the Lord himself, Yeshua himself. And that's our portion as believers. We get him. We get Yeshua. What an awesome inheritance that is. Shabbat shalom.